He stopped. It was a lucky guess, sir.
The wizards relaxed. They were extremely uneasy with cleverness, but lucky guessing was what being a wizard was all about.
Well done, that man, said Ridcully, nodding. Wipe your forehead, Mr. Stibbons. You've got away with it again.
I've taken the liberty of asking Rincewind to take a picture of me planting the flag of Ankh-Morpork and claiming the moon on behalf of all nations of the Disc, Your Lordship,
Carrot went on. Very patriotic, said Lord Vetinari. I may even tell them.
However, I can't show you this on the omniscope because, shortly afterwards, something ate the flag. Things here aren't entirely what you'd expect, sir.
They were definitely dragons, Rincewind could see that, but they resembled swamp dragons in the same way that greyhounds resemble those yappy little dogs with lots of Z's and X's in their name. They were all nose and sleek body, with longer arms and legs than the swamp variety, and they were so silvery that they looked like moonlight hammered into shape. And they flamed, but it was not from the end that Rincewind had hitherto associated with dragons. The strange thing was, as Leonard said, that once you stopped sniggering about the whole idea, it made a lot of sense. It was so stupid for a flying creature to have a weapon which stopped it dead in mid-air, for example. Extract from the notebooks of Leonard O'Quirm. Some observation upon moon dragons. These creatures are distinguished by their small, ornamental wings, sleek body shape and regal, alert posture. The beard and thrips are luxuriant and swept back from the chin and head. The squales enlarged and prominent, possibly for steering. In young moon dragons, one notes the elevation of the queasals and early growth of the thrips. Some specimens were noticeably hammering when observed. The eggs of this dragon are curiously formed, having a distinctive pear-like shape. I speculate that this may help it to survive a long drop to the ground. Dragons of all sizes surrounded the kite, watching it with deer-like curiosity. Occasionally, one or two would leap into the air and roar away, but others would land to join the throng. They stared at the crew of the kite as if they were expecting them to do tricks or make an important announcement. There was greenery, too, except that it was silvery. Lunar vegetation covered most of the surface. The kite's third bounce and long slide had left a trail through it. The leaves were...
Hold still, will you?
Rincewind's attention was drawn to his patient as the librarian struggled. The problem with bandaging an orangutan's head is knowing when to stop. It's your own fault, he said.
I told you, small steps, I said, not giant leaps.
Carrot and Leonard bounced around the side of the kite.
Hardly any damage at all, said the inventor as he drifted down. The whole thing took the shock remarkably well, and we're pointing slightly upwards. In this... In general lightness, that should be quite sufficient to allow us to take off again, although there is one minor problem. A shoe, will you?
He waved away a small silver dragon that was sniffing at the kite, and it took off vertically on a needle of blue flame.
We're out of food for our dragons, said Rincewind. I've looked. The fuel bunker broke open when we landed for the first time.
But we can feed them some of the silver plants, can't we? Said Carrot. The ones here seem to do very well on them.
Aren't they magnificent creatures? Said Leonard, as a squadron of the creatures sailed overhead.
They turned to watch the flight, then stared beyond it. There was possibly no limit to how often the view could amaze you. The moon was rising over the world, and Elephant's Head filled half the sky. It was simply big, too big to describe. Wordlessly, all four voyagers climbed a small mound to get a clear view, and they stood in silence for some time. Dark eyes the size of oceans stared at them. Great crescents of ivory obscured the stars. There was no sound but the occasional click and swish as the iconograph imp painted picture after picture. Space wasn't big. It wasn't there. It was just nothing, and therefore, in Rincewind's view, nothing to get humble about. But the world was big. And the elephant was huge.
"Which one is it?" said Leonard after a while.
"I don't know," said Carrot. "You know, I'm not sure I ever really believed it before. You know, about the turtle and the elephants and everything. Seeing it all like this makes me feel very, very..."
"Scared?" suggested Rincewind.
"No."
"Upset?"
"No."
"Easily intimidated?"